Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop. And I'm Alan Chartok. You know what? Friday's mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, is on record as the second deadliest mass shooting in the nation's history. 26 lives were taken, the majority of them children, aged 6 and 7. Too much for me to even comprehend. The shooting has renewed the debate on the role of guns in American society, with politicians and advocacy groups again at odds over whether new restrictions should be put on how guns are bought and what type of guns should be made available. Today we want to hear your opinion on guns in America. Does the average citizen need access to a firearm? Should assault weapons be legal to own? Are the background checks run for gun purchases adequate? You can give us a call when you can get a chance, because all five phones are already busy. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Write it down, 1-800-348-2551. You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WMC Radio and or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. I'll ask our friend Patrick Donges, our news director and the producer of the show, to come in and read some of those as they come in. So let's go to Caroline in Sharon, Connecticut. Remember, folks, this is going to be difficult for a lot of people. I've already had a lot of mail on both sides, including some from some very important people, like one of my board members who describes himself as a liberal gun owner. But let's just all remember the rule of civility and we'll all do fine. Caroline in Sharon, Connecticut, are you civil?
I hope so, Alan. Good. And I'll tell you, I do feel that this terrible crime is going to be a tipping point.
Yep.
But I feel maybe we should take advantage of the possibility of rephrasing the issues a bit, because the right wing is so good at branding things. They, turn pro-life from being against the death penalty to taking away women's health rights.
Right.
And in this case, even I've heard people over the last few days on both sides saying gun control. And of course, the word control drives half the country crazy. I would suggest if we could talk about sensible gun safety and prevention of violence, we could change the language, and I think it would help a lot.
Okay, look, that's a good idea, Carolyn. There are five people behind you, so I want to give everybody a chance. I thank you for your call. It makes a lot of sense to me. You should tell your friend who's calling you to tell you that she hears you on the air. Wait till you're off the air. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I should.
I'm just teasing you. Okay, thanks, Caroline. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to Kerry in Windsor, Massachusetts. Kerry, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many, especially at this time out there, that are in like to see a total ban on firearms. And I'm not one of those individuals. I was in the military, and I'm a retired police officer, and guns were a part of my life. I used to hunt quite a bit, too, and I don't have any guns anymore, and I don't hunt. But anyways, I always wondered why the NRA and others, gun dealers and gun enthusiasts, why they never wish to see a ban on assault-type weapons. They know that they're only good for projecting large amounts of ammunition.
Okay, so let me interrupt you and ask you, why do you think the NRA does that?
I personally think that they don't want to concede to that, because then they probably feel the possibility it'll put a ban on all the firearms.
You know what? This is their job. Think about it, Kerry. This is their job. In the same way that there were people in the Northern Ireland thing, who just never wanted to see it stop. It was their profession, literally their profession, war was and all the rest of that stuff. So this is what they do for a living. This is why they're paid. And, if it comes to anything having to do with guns, what their position is going to be.
Well, like I said, I have nothing against guns. There's a lot of my friends, they're shooters. They enjoy skeet shooting, target practicing, and hunting. And as far as I'm concerned, that's fine. It's the type of gun that's out there.
Sure.
And
I couldn't agree with you more. Kerry, why do you think, what do you think? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. How come you don't own guns anymore? How come you don't own guns anymore? How come?
I'd rather take the picture of a deer than shoot it. Took me quite a few years to realize that.
I love it, Gary. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Yuri in Saratoga Springs. Yuri.
Yes, yes. Hi, Alan.
You're
How are
on.
You?
Good.
I apologize. I have laryngitis, so it's a little bit difficult for me to speak, and I don't want to take a lot of your time. I don't want to discuss, you know, the gun control and the Second Amendment. You know, I'm a father of the boy who was killed 2 years ago in Saratoga Springs.
Oh boy!
When he was at his friend's house, you know, the boy was showing off his father's a gun, and he pointed the gun at my son and pulled the trigger, thinking that the gun was unloaded. And he killed him instantly. But this is, by the way, one more to the argument of the guns don't kill people. You know, well, people kill people. No, sometimes guns kill. Like, this boy didn't want to kill my son.
No.
But this is not the point. The point is, I hear lately everybody saying, oh, we have to do something. We have to do something. But I don't hear anybody actually proposing something, you know, meaningful.
Right.
I think I have a proposition.
Go ahead.
And I was talking about this many times. A liability insurance for gun owners, similar to the one that car owners have.
All right.
The reason for that is that you still have a right to have a gun. You still can buy it for $100, but you buy the gun, which costs $100. Along with a liability insurance, which will cost $1,500 a year. It's supposed to be $1 million at least. So when you start paying the liability, at the end of the year, you start thinking, oh, wait a minute, maybe I can use this $1,500 some other way. Maybe I can take my wife to the vacation or something. And you, because a lot of people have guns, not because they really need them or want them. You know, I don't want to discuss, again, you know, safety issue. People protect themselves with the guns. It's nonsense to me. But when it's the money, it's about the money, the gun could cost $100.
Okay,
whoa.
Yuri,
yes.
In all honesty, first of all, I feel very sorry about your story about your son. I mean that. It's heartbreaking, number one. But number two, once it goes by, you made your point, and it's a very good point. But that's it,
yes.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you, Yuri. Appreciate
just
it.
Just think about it, okay?
Yeah, oh, we will. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Let's go to Bob in Northampton. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Hey.
Okay, all I want to say is, number one, I am not a Republican. I haven't voted for them in 30 years. I am not an NRA member or Gun Owner Action League here in Massachusetts. However, I own firearms, and I would be dead if I didn't have one. A stranger, a psychotic person who I didn't know, came to my house trying to kill me. Thank God I had a firearm. And even then, I didn't think he was going to save me.
What did you do with it?
Long story. I had to have it pointed straight at her chest, and she, at the time I was nearly crippled, and she was much stronger, amazing strength. The police were amazed at things that happened, but she had a gun point. I mean, she was trying to kill me, backing me into a corner, screaming, "Shoot me! Shoot me! Shoot me! I'm the Viet Cong. I'm the Viet Cong. You'll never get rid of me. Shoot me! Shoot me! Shoot me!"
Did you know her? Did you know her before?
No, I didn't know her. No. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is two other things.
Well, you did talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just want to bring that up because that's what they used when I called in. They said, you know, that was one of the issues.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
There is a looming issue that nobody's talking about. We're talking about school shootings today.
Yeah.
But do you remember the term "going postal"?
Of course.
It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. There are men, that was men who came back from Vietnam who didn't get good treatment, mental health treatment for what they went through. These guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan are being treated the same way. They're being thrown away by society. Nobody cares.
Hey, wait a second, Bob, what's the choice? Well, I mean, how do we know this? Look at these. This guy was certainly not in that category.
No,
right?
No. I'm not talking. I'm just telling. There is going to be a bigger problem in a few years. Nobody's talking about these.
Well,
guys.
Then shouldn't we take the guns away?
No.
Because?
No. I'm a firm believer that as a citizen, it's my duty to have a gun.
I see.
They've taken away the state. There are no more state militias. They made the National Guard. They've taken the state militias and made them part of the army. They are not. They are no longer a militia.
So.
And I just want to throw one last thing out related to that. I was listening to Terry Gross once. It was about 15 years ago. They had a federal bureaucrat on, and he said that the federal government had estimated that by the year 2030, I think they're a little early on that, but by the year 2030, 80% of the U.S. population was going to be unemployed due to
automation.
Yeah. Automation, yes. And you know what he said? You know what his job was?
What?
Making a strategy to deal with these people and control them.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, you have to get rid of the guns. You can't ban them right away because it would be instant civil war. You go to the Berkshires of Vermont, you take away their guns, they're going to try to fight. So you have to do it incrementally.
Well, first of all, I doubt it that they'll try to fight, but we'll never know. Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Carl in Palatine. Carl, I tell you what, it's got to be short or you have to hang on while we do the underwriting. Which would you rather?
May I hang?
Yeah, you may hang. We'll do
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be right back with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. John Carpenter, providing sedation dentistry, helping to minimize and reduce multiple dental appointments. Hudson Valley Center for Sedation.com. Boyden and Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenandPerron.com. And Identity Eyewear, Albany, women-owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638.
Hello, we're back with Carl from Palatine. Thank you so much, Carl, for sitting through that. Appreciate it very much. Your turn. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll try to be as concise as I can. Number one, some years ago, my full-time favorite Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, for whom I did some work.
Yep.
There was tremendous argumentation at one point. It might have been in the 80s. My timeline is off on this specific vis-a-vis the NRA. And he, rather than diving into it, because all the comments, the argumentation was getting so repetitive, he said, you know what? They're right. Don't ban the guns. Pause. Ban the bullets. And he wrote that in, I guess it was an op-ed in the New York Times, and people really picked up on that.
Interesting.
And that was his brilliant sense of humor.
He had a sense of humor, all right. I dealt with it many times. What else you got?
All right. That was number one. Number two, I sent you, after listening to Midday, about 12:25 or so, listening to the people, I think they were from Berkshire,
yeah.
I sent you an email, and to Ray. None of those folks who spoke so vigorously, so sincerely, ever pointed out in their discussions of trying to do something about mental illness, about banning guns, that in this case, whatever proposals were mentioned by any of the politicians would have done nothing in this instance of massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guns were bought, according to the state police, and registered in the name of the mother, Nancy.
Yeah.
She was perfectly, legitimately a gun owner.
Yeah. It's your point. What I take it you're speaking in behalf of gun ownership, right? In other words, not controlling.
No, I'm speaking of this, as I wrote, when you have a chance, if you can catch
okay,
up
yeah,
on my
look,
email. It's very briefly. We need to speak less passionately and more pragmatically. We need to think pragmatically and speak less passionately.
Okay, that's a good point.
If we're going to do anything that's real.
Okay, Carl, that's a good point. We're going to let everybody have their chance. There are five people on. We appreciate your call.
May I just throw one last thing in without discussion?
Yeah.
A previous caller made me think of this because your excellent interviewer, Pat, I think his name is, made me think of this. The whole question of militia, that's the heart and soul of the Second Amendment, which NRA and gun owners are used to constitutionally justify gun ownership.
Yeah.
I don't know where the militia is.
Yeah, well, that's been raised.
It doesn't exist.
That was raised by the person before you, arguing exactly the opposite. Hey, Carl, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. With us is the great Patrick Donges, who has just been commended as a great interviewer.
I don't think that was me.
Was it?
I don't know when I did that anyway.
All right, go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, Alan.
You have some people to just want to read some Twitters.
Well, yeah, we have some folks on Facebook. Chris from Albany wanted to check in real quick. He called in to say that the actual statistic is that this Newtown incident is actually the third worst mass shooting in history, that 46 people were killed at an elementary school in the 1920s. So there's some food for thought. On Facebook, Jim says this kid was the killer, not the gun. That's like saying a spoon made you fat. Chris on Facebook says, I would like to know why more people aren't discussing what pharmaceutical drugs these people are taking or were taking. No one seems to be able to explain why the entire Swiss population is loaded with automatic weapons, yet these events never happen there. So the issue isn't guns, but something either about our culture or pharmaceutical industry that is causing these things. Adam Lanza could have easily done any other things, and he goes into detail there. Yeah. And then Bob says that, no, it's not like saying, in response to Jim, that the spoon made you fat. And he says, I don't say ban all guns, but that would not be possible. But let's look at the type of guns that we allow and regulate them.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Alan.
Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Bruce in Ulster, you're on. Bruce in Ulster.
Yeah.
You're on.
I'm glad you're tackling this head on.
Yeah.
Just very quickly now, if this killer had a knife or a sword or a scimitar, you know, or a club,
he
still could have done damage, but not as much, not as fast, and he could have been taken down more easily. So the fact that he had an assault weapon with all these bullets.
Yep.
You know, that's where you restrict it, and you say to the NRA, we're not taking away the Second Amendment. You're allowed to own a gun, but you don't need these others. And to pivot to Rachel Maddow the other night, they had some numbers up about the amount of food markets in the country were 47,000, 46,000. The amount of places where you could buy guns was over 100,000. 140,000. That's where we also need to cramp down. I mean, that is so lopsided.
Well, first of all, you're right. What about the 3 million guns that are out there? What are you going to do? How do you control those? You think people will give them back?
Well, I know they began to give them back spontaneously. There was, in fact, I heard it on AMC in New York right afterward. So maybe there could be a drive about that and, you know, give them, a certain amount of money, which is what they do. They give them money for it and see how many you can get back.
You wouldn't get 3 million or anything it.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, thank you. I want to give everybody a chance. Thanks very much for the call. We make a lot of sense. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to Jim in Port Jervis. Jim in Port Jervis, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
Pleasure of getting on with you.
Sure.
I want to make this as short so I can give everybody else a chance. But
My
number one point is there was no obvious problem with this kid that did all this damage.
I'm not sure you're right about that, Jim. I mean, respectfully, I read this morning that the mother was quoted as saying, "I'm losing him. I'm losing him." She knew she had a problem.
I did not hear that.
Oh no, this is a problem kid. There was no question about it.
I didn't know that.
But her contribution obviously was there. In other words, she had the gun that he took. She was a gun person. She went on the ranges and did all of that stuff. That's a very slippery slope. It really is.
Okay. All right. I didn't have that information.
Right.
But my next point, just to answer your question head on, yes, absolutely. Anything you can do to control guns, background checks, whatever you have to do, you have to do it. I don't think there's any way around it. Number two, before or after, at some point, this constitutional idea that you have the right to bear arms, I think, is just plain ludicrous.
Well, the problem, Jim, is that the Supreme Court doesn't agree with you. I happen to agree with you, but you know that doesn't mean a lot.
Well, they don't agree with me on a lot of issues, and that's and I'm just giving my opinion.
Right.
But I think that has to be changed. Number one, I think that owning a gun has to be dealt with the same way issuing driver's licenses. State of New York will tell you that driving a car is not a privilege; it is a right. It's not a right. It's a privilege.
Right.
Now we're on the right track.
Sure.
It's not a right. It's a privilege, and that has to be changed by the Supreme Court. I hope they'll do that.
Well, it would take a different court to do it.
I don't know. You would be the expert on that. I don't know how that
well,
would
it's
go
five,
about. But
you
I,
know,
I,
it's got you got five. You got five guys on there who have been voting about gun control, you know.
And they're not going to do it.
Well, I don't believe those five will do it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
when somebody yeah. pointed out this morning that one of the reasons yeah. that the Republicans were so gung-ho on this election is they didn't want to give Obama choices. But, of course, mm-hmm. as I pointed out then, the people who are most likely to leave the court are the people who would be opposed to gun control, not those
yeah.
four. Hey, Jim, I got to let you go. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Okay, that's, yeah. But I want to, before you let me go, I just wanted to say that Joe Donahue's program is terrific, and he brought up the point of the depression and the mental illness that has to be addressed. I think that's just as paramount as gun control.
We don't spend a lot of money on mental illness in this country. Well,
I think that's a big mistake. Yes,
Jim,
I'll let you go to
Jim. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye. Let's go to Neil in Pine Bush. Okay, Neil, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I want to come from a couple different background
sure.
points. I'm a teacher. I teach high school social studies. My wife is an elementary school teacher, and we're both horrified by this. And my wife
sure.
was actually very upset and came home in tears and was very emotional. She teaches the same age students. But on the other side of that is I'm also a gun owner and an avid target shooter, and I go to ranges and everything.
Sure.
And I just recently applied for my pistol permit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this was not horrible, because by all means it's atrocious. But the amount, I mean, if you want to look at statistically, you said there's 3 million guns out there. I just applied for my pistol permit in the county I live in of about 150,000 people. 22,000 own handguns. That's not... shotguns, or that's handguns, which you have to go
well,
through a lot
okay,
of
yeah, yeah, but what's the point?
Well, I think that statistically the guns are not the issue. Yeah, I think if you have a driver's license or a pistol permit, maybe they should make permits for long rifles, shotguns, and so on. But, you know, it's the same idea. If the 3 million are out there and these tragedies, which they are horrible, statistically come along once in every so many years... The issue is really the person that is holding.
Okay, but what if that guy? But what if that guy couldn't have gotten his hands on a gun? What if his mother?
That's also the fault of the mother for not having them more secure.
Well, yeah, but you know there are mothers like this and fathers like this all around the place, and we heard a very dramatic story earlier about a kid who goes over to somebody else's house. The guy takes down his father's gun, which is there, and points it at the kid, pulls the trigger thinking it wasn't loaded. That wouldn't have happened if there was no gun.
I completely understand, but at the same time, it also wouldn't have happened if for a $30 trigger lock that keeps anybody from going on it.
Yeah. Okay.
The access to them is the problem. I have three small children in my house. I have a 3-year-old and 2 2-year-olds.
And your wife is letting you apply for a pistol permit?
Yes. And as long as they're secure and nobody has access to them, then what's the issue? I have a safe that you couldn't get into. With explosives or with a Fort Knox. I mean,
you know, at Camp Bronx House, we used to have a word for that. We used to call it heavy FLWs. When somebody says, "What's that heavy FLW?" is a famous last words. Couldn't get in there except in Fort Knox and the rest of it. With some regularity, parents who think they have their guns under control don't. That can't be.
And I totally concede that point. But at the same time, I mean, taking away a gun from people that are trying to do things the right way and limit the access and going through all the hoops and playing is not so much the issue as opposed to people who are getting a hold of them illegally.
Okay. Hey, Neil, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Sure. Let's go to Tom in Amherst. Tom, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good.
I wanted to add on to the comment the man who lost his son commented about. I think what he brought to mind was simply that the liability, the responsibility of having a gun in your home is simply enormous. And
It is. You're right, exactly.
He brought out an interesting point. People don't understand. It's like having a live bomb in your home. People need to understand that. And when he put a price tag on, you know, how much it would cost, that's exactly right. You carry a huge amount of responsibility. And also wanted to say that I agree also we don't pay enough attention to those with mental issues in this country. And that's it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. You make great sense. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Let's go to Andrew in Western Massachusetts. 1-800-348-2551. Go, Andrew, go.
Oh, hello. How's it going? I feel like, you know, obviously the Supreme Court discussion is something that I'm not really qualified for. However, I would like to talk about liability, which is something that has been kind of bubbling to the surface. And I almost feel like, the gun manufacturers should ultimately be liable. They should bear some sort of a financial burden for what happens with the product that they create that causes damage in society. And secondarily, I feel like bullets in general, you know, like that not only should they cost more, but there should be like a fee associated with purchasing bullets that goes towards mental health. Like if the NRA is saying mental health is the issue, let's tack on a, you know, $5 fee that would go towards subsidizing mental health pool. I mean, there's ways that I think we could deal with these issues that don't kind of go through the constitutional route, but I feel like it's, you know, if it's about money, then we need to find ways to make money something that motivates people, I guess.
Okay. Maybe. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris in Albany, you're on.
Good afternoon. I personally have a permit to carry a gun in New York. I own an AR-15. I'm not a criminal. You know, I don't get into fights or cause problems.
Did anybody call you a criminal?
Well, it just seems like your outlook on guns is that guns are inherently bad, so by default I would assume that you would assume that pretty much every gun is bad, so...
No, don't put words in my mouth, Chris. Part. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, previous callers talked about liability. My personal opinion is if you go into a gun-free zone and you are then killed by someone and you're not allowed to protect yourself, that perhaps the owner of the facility took on the responsibility to protect you by limiting your access to personal defense weapons.
Hey, Chris, have you ever had to defend yourself with your gun?
Twice.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'd rather not. One time I was in Troy, and two guys walked up to me, and they were about to try to mug me, and all I had to do was put my hand behind my back, put my left hand out, and scream, stop. And they both stopped and turned around and walked away because there was the threat of the use of a weapon. I didn't have to use the weapon, but my body language and the way that I communicated with them told them I was not going to be a victim.
And the other time?
Yeah, in Washington, D.C., but I don't specifically want to talk about that one.
Okay, so you are an advocate based on the fact that you carry and that you can use those guns to protect yourself, and twice in your life you've had to do that.
I'm an advocate because I've taken training courses. I was trained by Arlington, Virginia police detectives who were firearms instructors. Both of them were advocates for concealed carry. My police officer friends are advocates for concealed carry. And I think that if you don't consider that you may have to defend your own life, you're going to be put in a very bad situation.
Well, Chris, now, as long as you've raised the police officer question, with some regularity, I have seen police organizations calling for more what some people would call gun control.
Sure.
Why is that?
Because they're not pulling the individual police officers. They're normally pulling the administration, and it's like the United States, the Police Chiefs Union or something like that, that will say they're anti-gun. Also, I don't think you should be looking at a government agency for information on whether or not you should have a gun for protection because they have guns. They're already protected, and I think they want to monopolize that.
So you think and why do they want to monopolize it? To control the country?
It's business. No, it's not to control the country.
Yeah.
But the point is they leave it in their hands. You have to call them, So, for example, instead of taking care of a situation, protecting your wife, your kids, you know, whoever, mm-hmm. instead you decide to place a phone call and hope that someone you haven't met is going to show up in time to help you.
And what if the secretary in that school, that poor, poor place, had taken a gun out? You think that she would have been better off? They would have been better off?
Well, I mean, this is where we enter into the whole discussion of people, and mm-hmm. everyone's different. I have no idea what her capabilities are or were. If she had gone through a training program, which I think would be logical, and, you know, she was certified and passed, mm-hmm. good for her, of course.
Hey, Chris, I thank you for making the call. I thank you for defending your position. I don't agree with it, but, hey, it's very important that you call. Appreciate
it. Have a good day.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Hudson Valley Heart Center, providing cardiovascular care throughout the Hudson Valley with services including nuclear, echo, CT angio, and vascular testing to help evaluate cardiovascular wellness. HVHeartCenter.com. American Meditation Institute, Averill Park, New York, offering meditation classes for beginners working to reduce stress and enhance their health. AmericanMeditation.org. And the Cary Conference Center, Rensselaerville, New York, wishing you a happy holiday season. Hosting winter meetings, 518-797-5100.
And we are here back for the last 20 minutes or so of the program. I thank you all on all sides for calling. I appreciate it very much. Let's go to Bill of High Falls. Okay. No. First, let's get to Patrick Donges, who's going to read us a couple of Facebooks and Twitters.
We have some comments on Facebook. Sarah says, I'm with the early caller who proposed liability insurance connected to gun ownership, just like with a car. I'd be interested to see the insurance industry apply their rational statistical approach to risk. And Chad on Facebook says, you may have taken training courses to the caller you just had and been able to defend yourself against being mugged, but were you at the point where it's our children's lives or you being mugged, the guns have to go? And then let's check in on Twitter. We had a couple of tweets. Derek Balling on Twitter says, to Alan's question about the NRA, they don't accept it because the purpose of the Second Amendment is defense against the standing army. And then he says, and so the so-called assault weapons are part of their mission statement, so to speak, of the Second Amendment.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Patrick Donges. You read very well, and I appreciate you doing it. Let's go to Bill in High Falls, who's going to talk to us. Bill, you're on.
Yeah, Alan, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the mental health services and the evisceration of them during the Reagan years. I read a great piece over the weekend by a mother of a woman who had a child with similar sounding problems to Adam Lanza, and the difficulty she had in getting any sort of assistance. And, you know, this kid had to be brought to the emergency room and handled by orderlies. And then when they finally calmed him down, they'd send her home with some meds. And in trying to get, you know, more help than that, she was basically told that the child had to commit a crime before he could be entered in the system and get the kind of help he really needed. That I just couldn't help but think about the, you know, total decimation of our mental health system under the Reagan years.
Now you're exactly right, I think, but not only Reagan. I think we haven't begun to put the kind of money into mental health that we should. You know, there's an old saying that mental patients often, or people with those kinds of problems, don't have alumni associations. And that's right. I mean, you know, we're talking about the NRA on one side, and a poor group of people who really do need the help, but who can't be advocates for themselves, and nobody else can either, or very few people. There are, of course, mental health associations and things like that, but not nearly what is needed in this country. You're right.
Yeah. Can I make one other point quickly?
Sure, of course.
Also read over the weekend, and taking everything you read at this point with a grain of salt, but it seems that Nancy Lanza was battling with the school system over her son's condition and treatment of it, and she got, quote, tired of battling with him, so said one neighbor. So she was able to pull the kid out away from any kind of scrutiny, any kind of hope of getting the help he might need in the school system from professionals, to homeschool him. And I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think that should have happened.
You mean the mama with the guns was going to homeschool the kid, is your point?
Other kids in the school district, this kid, you know, quote-unquote, went off the radar.
Sure.
So, frankly, I don't have a very, as you may be able to tell, I don't have a very high opinion of homeschooling in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the isolation and, you know, as I say, being cut off from access to professionals was just absolutely the wrong thing to happen in this kid's life. And I don't know what the answer is, whether you ban homeschooling or not, but I just don't think that should have been allowed to happen here.
I'll tell you one thing. I was saying this to my wife. I will bet you the number of kids who are going to be homeschooled is going to go up as a result of this thing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, Bill, I agree. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gordon in Pittsfield. Gordon, you're on. Gordon.
Hello.
Hey, Gordon, you're on.
I know the gun lobby is very strong, and many people are going to disagree with me on this, and I know everybody has their own opinion.
Sure.
But it seems to me common sense that assault weapons should be banned in a civil society. What is the purpose of an assault weapon? Most of the major crimes lately have been with assault weapons, and I think step one is for them to be banned. Step two is for all of them to be confiscated, and people that have them have to answer for it. And I know that may seem kind of extreme, but I think what's happening in our society with assault weapons is extreme.
Gordon, thank you for that. I certainly have similar feelings. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Jerry in Chatham. Jerry?
Yes.
You're on, Jerry. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to look at this problem from a different angle.
Okay.
We've lost the argument about guns. We're not going to remove them, and we're not going to stop the sale of them. Here's what we might do. Accessory to the crime. If somebody uses your gun to commit a crime, you're going to jail, too. If this woman had known that her son, mentally ill as he was, she might go to jail if he did something. Maybe she wouldn't have made it available for the guns. The second one.
Wait. Maybe, shmaybe. The truth of the matter is that she is quoted as saying she was losing him, meaning that, you know, she couldn't control him anymore. So I don't know that if you had said to her, you'll be liable if he does anything bad, you know, would have made a difference.
The point is to put the responsibility on the gun owners.
Mm-hmm.
And stand up for our rights as non-gun owners. If somebody uses a gun, your gun, to do something bad, you're going to jail too.
Okay.
And think about it from that perspective.
No, it's an interesting.
Maybe you'll be more careful. The second point is this. As the liability question came up, we've got to stop socializing the cost of these guns. First of all, add up all the costs for armed robbery, homicides, medical costs, court costs. Divide that by the number of people who own guns, registered guns. That's their cost, not our cost. I'm tired of paying.
Well, but Jerry, somebody's going to call up and they're going to say, wait a second, I can't stop an outlaw from getting a gun. Why should I pay for the outlaw?
That's not the point. If they had to pay those costs, they would be interested in reducing them. And the NRA would be interested in finding ways to prevent those kinds of things. It's not our responsibility. We can't do it. I'd go even further. This is not an original idea, but the Constitution says in order for, it links the militia to the gun ownership. So if you want to apply for a gun, show up next weekend, you're in the militia. And when you show up, you will be tested emotionally with a background check.
Okay, Jerry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. From Jerry in Chatham, we go to Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry in Schenectady, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
I wanted to share, I'd like to say these are my own ideas, but I want to share what a psychologist who was on The View this morning said, and this was his area of specialty. Apparently, he's even interviewed some of the shooters in the past who haven't killed themselves at the scene, and this is what he had to say. He said, first of all, it's not a matter of guns, and I disagree with him, but I'm just saying this truthfully. He said it's not an issue of the guns. Two things. It's a culture. We are in a culture of glorifying violence now, and he says we're just way over the top on glorifying violence. He doesn't understand it, and he says all these violent video games that kids play, there's just no reason for it, and they're excessively violent, and they need to be out of the house. And if parents use them, they need to be out of the house.
Wait a second, I don't understand that last part. If parents use them...
It's not just if kids use them. Yeah. Even if parents use them, they shouldn't use them if they have kids, because even if the kids don't play them,
they see it as acceptable. Okay.
And the second one is that a lot of these kids, it's a matter of that they want to be recognized. They're alienated and they're angry. It's over a period of time, and they see this as a way of getting recognized. Even I guess if they think they might not be around, they know that they're going to get their face on the air. They're going to be talked about. They said workplace shootings aren't being reported widespread anymore because of the publicity. Is that something you're aware of?
I wasn't, to be perfectly honest with you. I think if there's workplace violence in this media market with about five or six different television stations, you'll see it fast.
Huh.
In fact, too fast.
Well, he said it's not being reported as much anymore. And he said this kid had some stuff on his computer. He had a list of gripes and grievances. And he said they're making sure they're not going to put them out there so people won't find out what his grievances are. Mm-hmm. But school shootings will happen again because of the degree of publicity they get.
Okay, hey Jerry, there's no question that you get the copycatter effect. No two ways about it, and that scares the hell out of me. Thank you, Jerry. Right. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in North Adams. Mike in North Adams, you're on.
Alan?
Yeah, go.
Listen, I have 2 points. One is 25 years ago they took corporal punishment out of the schools.
Yeah.
And started feeding the kids pills. Ritalin. Who knows what the long-term effects are? Columbine, the two young men, they said they've been on Ritalin. The military won't take you if you've been on Ritalin. And one of the things they train you to do is to kill. The other issue is...
Wait. Do we know whether this kid was on Ritalin?
Well, it could have been Ritalin. With any
no, but no, Mike, I'm asking you a question.
I have no idea, but I'm just saying what's the correlation between them pumping these kids with pills and then all of a sudden we have these... school shootings.
Well, wait a second. Didn't you hear the news in the beginning that the worst one was in the 1920s? So the Ritalin wasn't around at the time, you know.
I know, but there seems to be more of it lately within, you know, the past 10, 15 years than ever before. Second point is, how is it you can go to the worst schools in the worst, New York, L.A., Chicago, the worst schools?
Yeah.
Primary schools, they don't happen there. It only happens in white bedroom communities.
Well, by the way, you've hit on something that we've been hearing quite a bit about when you profile who these guys are. These are not black people who are doing the shootings. These are, in fact, white middle class guys who are doing it. So that's an interesting question.
Well, maybe because they got all this free time to get lost in video games and the drugs in school and whatever else they're doing on the side. I just think it's worth looking into because I think this is insane in a civilized society.
Mike, you've had the last say. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Don in Great Barrington. Hi, neighbor. You're on. You're on, Donald. Donald?
Yeah, hello.
Come on, let's go.
Can you hear me?
Indeed we can.
Okay. Hi, Alan. I like Senator Moynihan's bullets idea. Eventually they would run out. Second, my grandsons participate in obscenely violent, maybe you've seen them, video games with a lot of carnage.
Yeah, yeah.
Kid could have, 20-year-old, could have been thinking he's in a video game to go about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The target shooters could go to approved ranges and rent their weapons ad hoc. I mean, that's a reasonable way to do it. And last, when I was a boy, I loved...
Don, what are we listening to in the background?
It's gone. Sorry. I loved BB guns. Anything like that was romantic. Well, now that we've grown up, that's over with. Get a life. And that's about it. And
okay.
One last thing, only the unloaded gun kills somebody by accident. And that's about it.
Okay, and wait. The last thing is don't call up if you're playing a radio in the background. Thanks.
You're absolutely right.
You're bye. Thanks. Okay, let's go to Andy from Athol. Andy from Athol, you're on.
Hi. Alan, first I want to say I love your station. I listen
Great.
To it all the time.
Thanks, Andy.
I'm an avid hunter. I'll try to be brief. I hunt big game. And I hunt birds. I've got a shotgun and a big game rifle.
What do you want to kill birds for?
Turkeys.
Oh, okay.
They taste good.
They do.
My point is, when I'm out there on watch and somebody shoots at a deer, one of my other guys shoots at a deer, and I hear one shot, I think, yeah, he got it. If I hear two shots, I think, maybe he got it. If I hear three shots, I think, I'm going to go down there and cut off his shirt tail because he missed that darn deer. The point is, I don't go into the woods with an assault weapon that carries 30 rounds because I'm only going to get three shots anyway. We don't need assault weapons. We don't shoot big game or small game with Glocks or Sig Sauers. Those weapons are made to kill people. They should not be sold.
Done. Done. You've had your say, Andy. Thank you.
One last thing. I think the NRA is not supporting our right to bear arms. It's supporting the right of arms manufacturers to make a big profit on these weapons.
Could be. Thank you, Andy. Yeah. Let's go to Clea in Canaan, Connecticut. Clea, you're on.
Hello. I'm the mother of three children. My twins are kindergartners here in Canaan. I'd like to say just a little something about hearing all of the gun control arguments immediately and hyperbolically, the same kind of rote things from either side, don't take my guns, everything should be banned. And I think that it's most advantageous if we really wanted to make some change is that we need to start beginning with common ground. I mean, I'm choked up right now, obviously.
Sure.
We all are. Anybody with a beating heart.
We are. You're exactly right.
Is atrocious. And I know responsible gun owners. I myself come from a family of people who are absolutely gun control advocates all the way.
Okay,
but
we're out of time. So, Clea, very quickly, tell me, what do you want to do?
Well, I think starting with loving your children and loving other people's children. Making sure that school bullying programs are implemented and excelled in, and that people start understanding that the bubbles that someone with mental illness lives in and the culture of violence, that those things need to be addressed.
Okay,
and those
so that's a long.
Everyone can agree on.
Yes, it's true, and that's a longer term. That's a longer-term solution. You have short-termers and long-termers. That's a longer-termer one, but in the meantime, anything short-term.
Well, sure. I mean, I think that if people agree that this kind of polarizing debate is not going to be helpful for anybody's children, if we actually sit down at the table with the NRA responsible gun owners and say, okay, so you tell me, what can we do? Give me something that we can work with, such as talking gun safety in schools and perhaps speaking to the people who have been bullied. I mean, there's so many people who could benefit from mental health evaluations at a much earlier age and to get the absolute help they need early.
Clea, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Roger in Queensbury. Very quickly, Roger, we're running out of time here. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good afternoon. First of all, I want to say that we're actually an out-of-control society these days. People seem to forget that we're not living in the 19th century any longer. But the other thing that I want to touch on is that I happened to run across an acquaintance right after this incident occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a gun owner and an NRA member. And I couldn't believe the ignorance involved in his opinions. By that, I mean, he wasn't thinking about those kids. He was more concerned about his NRA rights and his gun rights than those children, and it really got to me. But, you know, what can you say? You fight this ignorance. I suspect it's probably about a 50-50 proposition in this country.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Nah, I think you're going to find many more people, despite the 3 million guns, who think something has to happen and fast. No, I don't think you're right. I don't think you're right.
Well,
at least I hope not.
Well, I hope that the NRA steps up to the plate because it's time that they do.
I doubt that very much. This is not what they're paid to do, Roger.
Yeah, at this stage, I have no respect for them whatsoever.
Yeah. Roger, I thank you for your call. I want to try to get everybody in. We only got a minute now. Let's go to Tom and Hadley. Tom, you can make one sentence, and that's it.
Is this
Alan talking to Tom?
Yeah, but you got to hurry up, Tom. We only have a second.
Okay, here it is. Hypothetical, I'm opening a charter school, and my entire staff is going to be carrying concealed, and they're going to be expert marksmen at 50 meters.
Okay, Tom, thank you for that. Let's go to Dan in Schenectady. Dan, let's go real quickly.
All right. The only thing I have to say is that I think the biggest impediment to a decent gun control debate is ignorance on both sides, but namely, I see that a lot of anti-gun people have zero idea how they actually work. They don't understand what they want to regulate. That really shuts the door.
Okay, Dan, thanks very much. And that's all we have time for. I'm so sorry to Jim from Woodstock. We won't have time for you today. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for keeping it civil and for calling in today. And if I've offended anybody by getting you off too fast, I do appreciate the fact that you wanted more time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. Health-Quest.org for locations. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC Vox Pop on Twitter and Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Katie Britton, Brad Cornelius, and everybody else in the place. Our producer is Patrick Donges, who also answered phones. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.